fighting for is here.
Previously on the Woody and Wilcox Show.
Injured in your sleep. We've had a lot of people who have responded on Twitter and on Facebook, the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page, always there for you. A lot of wall punching. Shocked at the number of spouses who have taken some abuse, including Kayla on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. Speaking of spousal injuries, my husband likes to tell a story of when I busted his lip by hammer fisting him in the face in my sleep. To this day, I do not believe that I did that. Hammer fisting seems a little bit more than just, I don't know, turning over. But I don't think we've ever heard of somebody injuring their uvula in their sleep. I'll let you get a second if you don't know where the uvula is to get to WebMD. Right. But I do want to talk to Kelsey. Kelsey, you're on with Woody and Wilcox. What's your story?
Well, I have a collagen disorder, and a number of strange things have happened to me in my sleep. But the oddest that ever happened was one time I fell asleep on my back, and evidently I snored so hard that I stretched my uvula, and when I woke up, it was laying on the back of my tongue. So I couldn't talk. I could barely breathe. I had to call out of work for just the dumbest excuse ever. I had to drive myself to the ER, couldn't talk to the doctors, couldn't talk to the receptionist, so I had to write down all of my information. I was basically mute for half the day.
And do they put a cast on your uvula, or what do they do?
Fortunately, no. They pumped me full of anti-inflammatories. And since I have that collagen disorder, it affects my joints a lot. So what happens is basically sometimes I'll wake up with, you know, shoulders dislocated. My jaw will fall out of place sometimes, and I just got to, like, slap that stuff right back in the joint and keep going.
Wow.
I'm basically made of rubber.
You know what? You just reminded me. I've had that. I haven't had that exact same uvula thing, but I've had the uvula stretch.
Was this awful, in college when you were experimenting?
And I don't know what caused it. I mean, I used to be a bad snorer, but did they tell you that they thought it was snoring that caused it?
Yes, they said that was absolutely what had happened.
Really?
And I do snore. Mm-hmm.
Mine didn't prevent me from speaking. It wasn't debilitating like yours was, but it was, imagine that feeling if it's just something touching the back of your tongue.
Oh, no. So you knew you knew that's what it was?
Well, yeah, it's pretty evident. It doesn't take long to figure it out, and it just goes back on its own. I forgot that ever happened until you just said that. That's wacky. Wow. Yeah, that's been years ago. But yeah, I had that.
So now we've had two uvula stretches on the show.
That's insane. That is crazy.
Kelsey, we appreciate the story. 844-4WW-SHOW. I've never heard of anything like that in my life.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was, I mean, like I said, I'd totally forgotten that happened.
When I almost called in sick because of my gout, I thought that was one of the dumbest reasons to not come to work, but a stretched uvula.
Well, depending on what your job is, if it's to speak and you can't,
that's
stretched uvula.
Yeah,
right.
You need
right.
to walk on your foot and move things, maybe not be able to work.
Right.
But can talk on the radio, unfortunately.
Exactly, Chelsea. You've summed it up perfectly.
844-4WW-SHOW. Anna, you're on with Woody and Wilcox. What's your story?
I've sleepwalked my entire life, and when I was a kid, my parents just took to walking everything, so I wouldn't sleepwalk out of the house. And they'd find me, you know, in the morning sleeping some weird place with nobody remembering how I got there, except one summer they decided to redo the back deck, which was like two stories high because it was over a finished basement that had a walkout. Mm. And nobody thought to tell the contractor to make certain the back deck door was locked. And nobody thought to check that door that night because it was such a habit for us to just keep it locked so I wouldn't go running out. And so I woke up in the middle of the night in absolute agony, having walked out the back door that was unlocked and off the side of the deck that no longer had a banister because they were fixing it. And I fell basically two stories and cut myself on a shovel that was down below and had to get 57 stitches. I cut straight through all the muscles in my bicep.
Oh. Did you say 57 stitches?
57 stitches. They had to do internal and external stitches. And It was a fun experience. I missed cheer camp that year, and my mom was just so distraught. It was ridiculous. I'm like, you can't blame the contractor. You didn't make sure he knew that you had somebody that just wanders around unconscious in your house.
How old were you at the time?
I was 13.
Craziness. Wow.
I mean, that could have been even worse, you know?
Well, I mean, the doctor said it was basically the same as being drunk, being a sleepwalker. Because you're not reacting to the situation, you're not tensing up. So the same way a drunk survives a car accident or a big fall, I felt, you know, like they would have when I was sleepwalking. And to this day, my husband, you know, when we got married, my mother warned him, you know, you have to lock her in the house at night. And we go through the house and make sure everything's locked. And thank goodness only one of our kids sleepwalks.
Have you had any other real incidents since then?
Since then, I haven't gotten, like, badly hurt besides, like, banged shins and waking up and wondering why I'm in the pantry. But when I was a little kid and lived in the country, I would wake up in the middle of fields. And my siblings used to tease me that I'd been abducted by aliens. So that's always fun for a four-year-old. But one time I woke up on the back of my dad's tractor.
Wow. Are you familiar with Mike Birbiglia?
I've heard some of his comedy.
Yeah, he's a rabid sleepwalker and has jumped out of a second-story window while sleepwalking, having a dream.
I don't remember what I was dreaming. I just woke up on the ground below the deck.
You should look into his stuff. He's a really interesting dude and got some amazing stories that are death-defying.
He did the movie Sleepwalk with me as well, so you should check out. Well, Anna, we appreciate the call.
Has to zip himself into a sleeping bag and wear mittens.
He's on medication now, actually, for it. I don't know if he still does the sleeping bag and mittens thing, but yeah, he talks about that. It's crazy.
And then, of course, there's these, thanks to Kathy. I want to injure myself when my alarm goes off and I'm listening to the Woody and Wilcox Show. Does that count?
I was wondering why it took so long.
Does not count. And then, Caleb, I woke up the other morning and my ears were bleeding, and then I realized my radio was set to your show.
Ah.
That's the same, and no, that doesn't count either, unfortunately.
The following program is for entertainment purposes only.
Really? That's amazing.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
They simply couldn't imagine being without each other.
With Woody.
Ah, what the hell is the matter with you?
And Wilcox.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is insanity!
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is like, you know, when you're getting your legs waxed and they whip that thing off real fast. That's what this is like.
And now, it's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I've been through this a million times in all my years in the theater. Take a deep breath. Good. Blow it out. Let's just do a good show, okay? Everybody do a good show.
Sorry, I literally just hit the moments thing on Twitter that you can look at. Sort of the hot topics, the things that are out there in the news, the trendy things that are going on right now. And the first thing that came up was the, I guess, one of the photos from Greg Norman in his posing for ESPN The Body Issue.
Ooh.
Now, not that I don't normally have nude 63-year-old men pop up on my computer as soon as I fire it up, but I usually am prepared for it, and that one caught me off guard.
Chelsea, what do you think? He's got the Crocodile Dundee hat rocking.
I don't know about the hat, but I mean, he's in really good shape. I mean,
63.
Fantastic
shape.
Yeah,
it's incredible. Impressive.
Again, just not, just wasn't expecting it is all it was. We just heard the replay there. A lot of the, we took quite a few sleeping injuries yesterday. You only heard just some of it, right there on the replay. You can check out the podcast, of course, if you want to get the full gist of it. There was a lot of interesting stuff, and there was some stuff that came in then, obviously, after the show, and you're always welcome, you know, on our voicemail, which is the Fez line at 704-FEZ-3200.
Hey, Woody and Wilcox. On the topic of bed injuries, the other week I was asleep and I had a nosebleed and I slept through it. Ooh. And when I woke up, my sheets were stuck to my body and I had blood literally on my entire pillow and my face and body were all bloody.
Woody, you're a big nosebleed guy. We've talked about this. Woody's gets frequent nosebleeds. I've almost have never gotten a nosebleed.
Sadly, I pass it on to one of my daughters, too. She gets pretty bad nosebleeds at the drop of a hat. Literally, she could just be walking and
it's like Frank's son. I've never seen anything like it.
Really? Mm-hmm. I usually wake up, though, because I have had the situation where it bled a little bit, and then you like try and pull your face off the pillow and the pillow comes with you, but not covered like that. It's a horrible feeling.
There was also this one on our voicemail late in the day yesterday.
Hey, guys. Listen to the podcast right now. Just weighing in on the accidental injuries while sleeping. So my little brother, when he was young, probably 7 or 8, he went to summer camp with Y Guy. So my dad was, you know, part of that. And in the bunkhouse, my dad was on the bottom, my brother was on the top. And the floor is concrete. And somehow my brother slid off the bed onto the concrete floor from the top bunk, managed to not injure himself. But now, here's the kicker. When he fell, he said, "Hit it, yo la yo yo
lo lo." That was brilliant. I meant to have the video rolling on Chelsea too, and I messed it up and didn't have video rolling. The great thing is we didn't miss anything. Literally, deadpan, didn't move a muscle. She's just become numb to it. There's nothing going on. I wanna
be. You're either gonna hit me with that or Fat and Sassy every day.
Not every day. It's been a long time, actually. I can't remember the last time somebody yodeled on the Fez line.
And by the way,
it's been maybe months.
Thank God.
Don't even claim that you saw that one coming. That was damn near perfect.
She was busy plotting out where she and Frank are gonna make out this weekend. That's not she's true. Doing the busy thing, so she's got important stuff. Mm-hmm. Other fish to fry, as they say. All right, well, here's the great news, and I'm sure this is why it didn't bother Chelsea that much. It's Friday, so I don't know if you've seen the calendar, but that's always a good thing. We've got a round or a batch or a new group, however you want to phrase it, of fun with golf audio today. The stuff that sounds dirty, taken out of context from the golf broadcast, most of them from last weekend's U.S. Open, so that's a thing. What else is happening? Oh, Saturday Night Live cast member Chris Redd, if all goes as planned, is going to join us in studio. We've never had Chris on. That should be in the final hour of the show today, so mark that down. And I don't know if you saw the news. Speaking of comedy, they have announced the next Comedy Central roast. I'll share that information with you. You know this is
big day for you.
I mean, yeah.
Wilcox looks forward to this day every year.
This is I didn't even know one was pending. I didn't know this was coming up. I had no this is
you didn't?
This was just like Christmas morning unexpected. Then I hadn't seen anything that said, "Hey, you know, in June we're going to announce who the next roastie is." I hadn't seen anything like that. Did you guys? There was no indication that this was coming. So I'll share it with you, and we'll assess whether we think it's going to be good or bad. We'll do that next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
And now it's time for the Shat Report. Stuff happening around the globe.
Yeah, the G is silent. Beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep. On the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of things going on of some importance to us here in the United States and of importance to the entire world. That's every single day. But it's not every day that we find out who the next roastee on Comedy Central is going to be. Now, if you've listened to the show at all, you know, especially for me, Wilcox, there's nothing better to me on television or maybe even in life than the roasts. The celebrity roasts to me are just my favorite thing in the world. And they've announced a new roastie. Did anybody see any of this?
No.
Anybody want to take a guess?
Wait, is this happening next month?
It is going to be airing on July the 29th.
I did see it. I'm recusing myself.
The date somehow triggered it for you? I don't understand that.
It's hard to be me.
Okay. All right. Wait, July 29th? Yes, I did see
well,
that.
Well, I scrolled through something and made a note, and then so I know who it is.
I thought we talked about this, and I can't remember
big
who
star.
It was.
Big star. I mean, at one time, I would say the biggest star in the world in terms of movies.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, but you're on the right track.
And Woody, I agree with you. I feel like we did mention this somehow
Why
months
can't
ago.
I remember who it was? Sylvester Stallone?
I see dead people.
All right. You're not really hiding it at this point, Chelsea.
I wanted to guess.
Oh, Bruce Willis.
That's right.
How long are you going to let him guess?
You're saying we knew that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did know that.
That's why it triggered me, and that's why the date stuck out, and I made a note to ask you if we knew about that.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt was announced as the host of this particular roast. I guess they worked together in something. I saw that they worked together in the movie Looper. Mm-hmm. Is that it? Was there something more than that? I mean, I don't think of that as being sort of Bruce Willis's crowning moment.
No, but he played the younger Bruce Willis in Looper. It's a time travel movie. It's actually very good. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, one of the most talented dudes out there.
I agree.
He is amazing.
And we all know that it's, to a great degree, unimportant who the roastee is in terms of, is the roast going to be funny? Because there's however many people up on stage on the dais, as they call it, and they all roast each other. So Bruce Willis is usually maybe a third of each person's routine, if you will. So it's all that matters is who is there as a whole, pardon the expression. Who was the last one? Because Rob Lowe wasn't last year. That was a couple of years ago.
Rob Lowe was the last one. I sort of was going to cheat and went on Wikipedia. Rob Lowe, September 5th, 2016. Before that, Bieber, Franco, and somebody named Roseanne Barr.
Okay, so it was 2 years ago that they did the last one.
But they hover about one every 18 months or so is what it looks like.
Now, I want to play some audio just to refresh our minds on what a good roast sounds like. However, they did release yesterday a promo, which was Jeff Ross and Bruce Willis parodying a famous scene from a movie, but peppering in their own stuff. See what you think.
I want to tell you my secret now.
Okay.
I see old people.
Well, I see chubby people.
I see bald people.
So do I.
I see former heartthrob people.
I see future heart blockage people.
I see easy target people.
I see shops at target people.
I see can't turn down any action movie script that comes my way people.
I see can't turn down a third helping of potatoes people. And I'm not talking about sweet potatoes, which are pretty low on the glycemic index as far as potatoes go.
That was a good one.
Thanks.
I see this is just my B material. I haven't even gotten your music career yet, people.
I see I'm going to regret this roast.
Yippee-ki-roast, motherfucker!
It's going to be a long M night.
I would hope that we're not going to judge it solely on that promo. Oh. Not that it's terrible, but it's not, you know, it's not roast material. That's what I'm saying. Like when they roasted Rob Lowe and, of course, Rob Riggle, who was one of our standouts from that roast. That was what I like to look back on and prepare for the next one with.
Jeff Ross, the Roastmaster General, huh? Jeff's a regular at the Friars Club, but that really shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. I mean, they serve food. Pete Davidson's ugly. He's actually going on his third year of SNL. It's been a while since I've been there, of course, but you got to help me out now. Is it the fourth year that they finally let you see an orthodontist? Jacked up teeth! Fix that! Jimmy Carr's got better teeth and he's British!
Like, I love Rob Riggle, but wasn't expecting him to steal the roast the way he did when Rob Lowe was roasted.
And then there's the sheriff. Well, well, well. Old number 18, Peyton Manning. Peyton, as you know, is from New Orleans, but you might not know this, though. After Katrina, he helped displace families by letting them stand on his forehead for 2 days. A real New Orleans saint. Room for everyone, folks.
So we'll hope that Rob Riggle is involved in the Bruce Willis roast.
Nikki Glaser has no idea what I'm talking about right now because, one, she only watches porn, and two, she's never waxed in her life. Harry a- Big Harry a- Big Harry a- Big Harry a- I'm sorry, Jeff. I didn't mean to make you hungry.
Not only did I hope that, I hope that Rob Riggle is involved, and I haven't seen a list. Maybe there is one out there of who's going to be involved. But that roast is where I first kind of discovered the British comedian Jimmy Carr that he just referenced there. And I thought Jimmy was amazing.
Nikki Glaser is here, one of my favorites. On Nikki's Comedy Central show, Not Safe, she found out her father is hung like a horse. And we found out Nikki inherited her face from her dad's...
That's Jimmy Carr. And for some reason, remember, Ann Coulter was on the dais.
Oh, okay.
Why would Ann Coulter be there? I guess just so everyone could make Ann Coulter jokes.
Ann Coulter's... Seriously, this gets classy. Ann Coulter's... is now so old and dry that it's just got a job drawing cartoons for the New Yorker.
I probably will have to forcibly be stopped from playing these clips, or I literally could play 4 hours with them, and I'll just stop it on the Jewel joke from Jimmy Carr.
Jewel. Jewel has an incredible voice, an incredible body, and a face.
On that note, we look forward to July the 29th when they do the Comedy Central roast of Bruce Willis, hosted by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and we'll find out who is actually going to be doing all the roasting. It should be, I'm sure, some of the regulars. Obviously, Jeff Ross is involved with all of them, and then there's going to be like some wild cards, like Ann Coulter, for some reason, or someone along those lines. So, Giddy, you've got that, just to go ahead and take you on through the day. I don't even know if you need any more than that. Although, like we do, we always try to give you a reason to be able to call in sick to work today.
Hey, guys, I got bad news. Might actually have to go to work today. Pretty slow around this country, this planet, not much going on. The only thing I could dig up was that 69 years ago today, Meryl Streep was born. So I also looked up a little bit more on that. She did, in fact, win an Oscar for that performance as well.
Hey-o.
Wow. Those comedy classes are really paying off.
Come on, that's
better than half of your stuff.
Oh, my God. Hello, pot. We've got a round of It Happened in Florida that we'll kick off coming up next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So with It Happened in Florida, that means that Woody and I will be sharing a couple of stories, three actually, to get your mind working, get you thinking. And you have to figure out which one of the three true stories actually happened in the Sunshine State of Florida. It's really that simple. They're all true, but they could have happened anywhere all over the globe. And we tip our cap to Florida with this game. It's a tribute is what it is. And Woody will start us off with story number one.
Drive-by shootings. I think we can all agree, not a good thing.
Right.
Right. Way to go out on a limb. You're right, Woody. Take a stand. That's good.
I hate to just, you know, throw it out there, but it's just one of the things that America can agree upon. And how many times in a drive-by shooting is your mom the one doing the drive-by shooting? Not your mom specifically, but
I'm not going to roll over on my mom.
Okay, good. Because you know what happens to snitches. I bring it up because the mom in story number one is the one who was accused of a drive-by shooting on her son. When asked why, quote, "I'll be damned if I let him have the last word," end quote. So great family dynamic going on here. There was an argument, basically, that the mom thought that her son, who's 46 years old, rode away on his bicycle with her cell phone. And she's like, "Oh, no, you didn't." And that's when she got in the car and cranked off a few shots at him. Now, come to find out that the phone was actually still in mom's house. And the good news is 66-year-old woman is behind bars. Was it in Florida where there was an argument? She wasn't going to let him have the last word, and that led to a drive-by shooting.
Well, I don't have any moms trying to kill their kids stories, but I hope story number two is a little bit more lighthearted. It's a man who was arrested for breaking into an acquaintance's home, but it's what he did when he got inside this guy's home that has led to certainly what makes it an It Happened in Florida story. He was arrested for something, Chelsea. What was he arrested for?
Well, he broke in, and yes, then he made a hot pocket and shaved the cat.
Wow, I like the shave the cat part.
I see you've got your weekend planned out. No, he was arrested for, quote, a lewd act with the victim's toothbrush. You may be saying, I'd like a little bit more information. When you say a lewd act with the victim's toothbrush, what are we talking about?
You'd have to be caught in the act to know, right?
Well, it was intentional. He filmed himself completing the lewd act on the victim's toothbrush.
Oh, no.
Was not caught initially. Was only caught because, obviously, he wanted the victim to know that he had performed a lewd act on his toothbrush. But only several days later, of course, after the victim had already used the toothbrush. It's that old story. We've heard variations on it. No mention of what the lewd act is, so you're going to have to let your mind wander on that one. But I don't believe we've ever heard of someone being arrested officially for this. My question is, was it Florida? Woody's got the third and final.
We talked about it not too long ago about when you happen upon an animal in the middle of the road, whether you choose to swerve to avoid the animal or you just go ahead and plow over the animal. And I think the consensus was from driving instructors and various people that you just try and keep going. But somebody in these United States of America had a difficult decision because, well, should you swerve to avoid the kangaroo in the middle of the road or should you try and swerve and go around it? Again, this in these United States of America.
I feel like you just gave the same option twice.
Should you hit the animal or swerve and go around it?
Okay. There was two swerves in your first example.
I've been drinking.
I don't hit the kangaroo.
That's you don't hit the kangaroo?
No.
That's what they chose, and sadly, they ended up in the ditch and then ended up in the hospital after the accident. But how often do you come up over the hill and you see a kangaroo in the middle of the road in the United States of America? That's when the cops learned that there was a kangaroo farm in this particular town. Kangaroo farm. For what? We don't exactly know.
Name of my new band.
Was it in Florida where a couple of the kangaroos escaped from the kangaroo farm and caused a vehicle to crash? Brad is up first to try and solve our quiz. Brad, all three stories actually happened. Which one went down in Florida?
I'm going to try story number one.
Number one! Yeah. Mom's not letting you have the last word, and she's going to follow you. She claims she wasn't trying to hurt her son and that she intentionally aimed over his head in the drive-by shooting. So you got that to look forward to, well, I guess.
I feel like she didn't do anything wrong then if she was only firing warning shots over her son's head in a drive-by.
I disagree. Panama City Beach, Florida is where that one went down.
And watch your toothbrushes in Paducah, Kentucky, where a man had another man break in, film himself performing a lewd act on the dude's toothbrush, and then a couple of days later, hey, how your teeth doing? I was at your house a couple of days ago. Did you see this?
Dodson, Montana, by the way, is where there is a new kangaroo farm. Dodson, population 124. I looked it up. That's why most people didn't know that there was a kangaroo farm in Montana.
When you hear lewd act on a toothbrush,
mm-hmm.
Front butt or back butt? What are we? What do you imagine in this?
Front case? Butt and back butt.
As a man? Am I a man?
Are you a man? I don't know.
Trasero de enfrente, trasero de atrás.
I mean, is like if he was to number two on the guy's toothbrush, is that a lewd act? Or does a lewd act have to involve the genital
wang?
I don't know the rules on that.
Wang.
Would it be called a lewd act if he just soiled it?
In my head, it was a
quick,
sort of like using it like a Q-tip. He sort of swabbed the area.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's what Chelsea was thinking. I don't know if that's a lewd act.
You don't know if that's a lewd
act. Do you
act.
Want Woody to do that with your toothbrush?
No, it's not pleasant and certainly unwanted, but is it lewd?
What? So you need the definition of lewd
I
act.
I guess I do. I feel like a lewd act has to be sexual.
Well, then back.
No.
Then back.
You asked me originally front butt or back butt. I'm saying back.
Okay, so you think it's the classic, because we've heard people talk about that.
Right.
But I felt like there must have been something else going on here. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe lewd does cover that as well. Just food for thought. I'm going to look up lewd. I'll get back to you. Okay. We do have a new batch of Fun with Golf audio on the way, and we'll kick that off next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
By the way, just to follow up on the round of It Happened in Florida that we had a second ago before we get into Fun with Golf audio, which we have here. I told the story about a guy who was arrested for what they described as a lewd act on another man's toothbrush. And they didn't go any further than that. And I raised the question, what are we talking about, do you think, when somebody commits a lewd act on another guy's toothbrush? Now, I've heard the old standby where it's a toothbrush making contact to the backside, and then you send video or photos and, ha-ha, look what you've been using. I don't think of that as lewd. And I said, I think lewd has to do with sexual. And to me, I don't describe what I just said as sexual. Here's the definition of lewd: crude and offensive in a sexual way. So to me, it may be they're using the term lewd in that manner, or loosely, as I would describe it, but I think it has something to do with something else.
But you know, there are websites of an adult nature that have a whole subsection devoted to just the backside.
What?
So when you say that that's not right. Sexual.
Well, that may be sexual, but not always sexual is the way I look at it. And toothbrush to that region to me is not sexual. That's just.
Because it's a toothbrush? Troubling.
Just troubling.
Medicinal?
Right. Is it?
I wouldn't describe medical? It as medicinal either. It would definitely be crude and offensive, just not lewd. If lewd means sexual. That's probably enough, but.
Thank you.
I feel like I want more info. This music, though, means that it's time for something that may occasionally be called crude and some may find offensive, although I think that's too harsh. This is just stuff literally taken out of the broadcast of golf tournaments. Now, we pull it out of context, so sometimes it sounds like it's filled with innuendo, but that's your own dirty mind, for crying out loud. There's nothing lewd about it. Many of these are from the U.S. Open last weekend, so dig in, relax, and enjoy.
See how narrow that is there?
Well, look at that thing. That rough, you don't care how rough your tongue is, you're not getting that off, kitty kitty.
I really like it when he gets it going. His thumbs are going to be sore.
What in God's green acres is happening in that clip? Why is his tongue rubbing on somebody, and why is it getting something off? And then why are his thumbs sore?
See how narrow that is there?
Well, look at that thing. That you don't care how rough your tongue is, you're not getting that off, kitty kitty.
I really like it when he gets it going. His thumbs are going to be sore.
Maybe you're not watching enough golf if you've never heard that sort of talk.
This would be a big hole, Paul. It always seems to be. It certainly was for Retief Goosen, and it was for Phil Mickelson.
This is hot.
Is he calling them small? It's
hotter than the other guy with the rough tongue getting them off?
He should be licking his chops into this whole location.
Haven't had a good look, but I know it's probably at least two balls out on the left.
Went from a circular shape to an irregular shape. You know, that just happens over time. You think about it, over 70 years, they just get smaller and smaller and smaller.
I've heard the opposite.
Balls.
Balls.
What? What?
I like people that talk to their balls. I hear a lot of players talk to their balls, rarely hear them thank their balls.
The texture of the balls is very easy to identify.
What?
I'm not squeezing the balls, what? I'm not rubbing them.
What's happening?
To me, those balls are perfect.
Thanking their balls.
I like people that talk to their balls. Hear a lot of players talk to their balls, rarely hear them thank their balls.
If you're thanking your balls, 844-4WW-SHOW is the way you can get through.
Look at the shaft flex.
And that's because of the strong grip. Johnson is just amazing.
Wang.
Right.
You
did mention John Wood. Years on Hunter Mahan's bag, now on Matt Kuchar's bag.
Kuch.
If you're on Kuch's bag, 844-4WW-SHOW.
Kuch.
Right.
It's hot, and these things are really, really nice.
Yeah, I know, and they're soft.
Yeah.
You got to keep them wet.
It's amazing to me. He goes from something that's basically around his knees to something that's up by his chest. But I don't think he's normal. And look at how tight that entrance is. You've got to have a good angle there.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, a great view from behind. That's what faces Webb Simpson now. Well positioned right below the hole.
Ten inches is precisely the length of me, but this one not as crooked. Is that crooked or warped? Twisted.
Did he? What?
Wang.
I don't know. There it is. That's your Fun with Golf audio. Not sure what they're talking about, but doesn't seem like golf. It'll be available pretty quickly, I think. Right, Cool Beans? We're now getting these out before the end of the show, I think. If you're not following along at Woody and Wilcox on Twitter, you should be. We're doing little segments periodically that we send out to you. But you can always find the podcast and all the other parts of the podcast on the Woody and Wilcox channel of iHeartRadio.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So, thank you to everybody who has been chiming in on the... And I'm going to put it to bed here. If you've been with us now for a little bit this morning, I'm not going to continue talking about the dude who was arrested for performing a lewd act on another man's toothbrush. Because
okay,
that did come up on our It Happened in Florida a little bit ago. And I just was curious because there was no mention of what that is, what that act was. And I find it fascinating. The guy ended up breaking into, an acquaintance's house. And then videotaping himself or taking video. Sorry, I used the word taping. Feel free to get in now on the Fez line. Now, videoing himself doing something with the other man's toothbrush. And then, you know, days later, after obviously he had used the toothbrush, hey,
got a video for you.
Look at this. And so it just said that he was arrested for a lewd act. And I said, to me, lewd has to be sexual. And then Woody and Chelsea said, yeah, he was something with the backside. And I said, I don't think that's sexual. That's where we got into the discussion. And this has come in on the Fez line.
Hey, guys. A lewd act on a toothbrush would indicate to me it was not toothpaste that he squirted on it. Just some food for thought.
Right. I mean, I guess that's probably the safest way to phrase what I was thinking as well, as opposed to backside. That is where my mind went. I don't know why I feel like we need to hammer this out as much as we are.
I
wish there was more information. That's one of those stories where when I see it, I think that's not enough for me. I need to know what the act was.
It's really bad journalism, right?
Is it?
Yeah, because
what we're doing or what they're doing?
Yes.
Okay.
But
both.
What they're both reporting in the newspaper, when you just throw it out there and you leave it so vague, that's when inquiring minds want to know when they could have, and I realize it's probably a family newspaper or whatever they call it, they could have alluded to...
Well, there's a way to phrase it in a technical term that's not something that can't be written in a newspaper.
Right.
Well, I'm not going to say it on the radio, but I mean, there's a way that it can be done that's, you know, technical and not...
It could be something as simple as the suspect was accused of leaving a bodily fluid on there, or, you know, he was played in hide and go seek with the toothbrush. Right?
I don't know that they'd phrase it that way, but like, I know what you're saying. You're trying to get to.
Yeah,
I agree. That's what that was my point as well.
But if he sent a video of himself doing that, wouldn't that be an additional charge? If you think that he went all the way through with the act and then left the evidence on the toothbrush,
it is an additional charge, Chelsea. It's just, it's like communicating a threat, or I forget what it was, that there were multiple charges he was facing in addition to the lewd act.
Because now you've sent a video of a sexual act on top of whatever you did to the toothbrush. Whereas if you just placed it in a certain area, I don't think that's a video that you make. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, he's going to have a tripod and some lighting, right, if it's backside.
Well, but you definitely want, that's the whole point of it, is to, after somebody's used their toothbrush, have them see physically where it was.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I mean?
I get that.
Right.
I mean, you could demonstrate that both ways.
I think, honestly, the most interesting thing to come out of it is that I am in disagreement with the two of you about what lewd means, and that when it has to do with the backside and a toothbrush, that's lewd, because I don't feel like it's sexual.
And we do.
Right. That's the most interesting thing. And that's stretching it, by the way. And when I mean stretching it, I mean interesting,
please
not
don't
the backside.
Please don't use that term.
All right. Going to move on now. And if I'd love for you to share your thoughts on it as well. But, you know, we can do that behind the scenes, either on social media, or you can get it in on our voicemail. The Fez line is always there at 704-FEZ-3200.
What weird place have you put your friend's toothbrush?
No. I'm not. I am curious, though, if I'm the only one who doesn't find that to be lewd, if lewd has to be defined as sexual. That's the only thing that got me, and that's fascinating to me.
How obsessed are we with football here in these United States of America?
Quite.
I mean, we're in the downtime, right? There's no optional team. What is it?
Activities. They wrapped up their OTAs, a week or so ago.
We're what, 6 weeks away from training camp beginning, or roughly, depending upon your team. And yet, one of the leading news stories is there's a starting quarterback in the NFL facing 3-game suspension.
Yeah, but it's why he's facing suspension that's interesting.
Yeah.
Right?
I'll give you all the details on who it is and why he's facing that suspension, and we'll do that next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I know everybody's still sort of recovering from the awesomeness that was the NBA draft last night, right? Getting fired up for NASCAR this weekend, maybe.
Well, you must have been excited, because I know you don't know anything about basketball, Woody, but last night was the first time ever that somebody wore shorts. So, I mean, I know you're always curious about fashion, because you are very into fashion, as we all know, those of you that have seen Woody on the social media. But it is, that for somebody who doesn't know basketball, watching the suits and that sort of thing is probably the only thing of interest to you in the NBA draft.
Did any of them wear a Pizza Hut suit like in the NFL?
If there was anything that was
logoed,
I didn't see it. But I must admit, I didn't catch all of it. There was a lot of, you know, jacket liners that are fun. You know, DeAndre Ayton, U of A, by the way, number one pick in the draft, had the Jamaican flag and some other flag. He's from the Bahamas, but he claims Jamaica and Nigeria is a part of his history. So his whole inside of his suit was like the United Nations, where they have all the flags, you know, up for all the different countries. It was, so there was a lot of, you know, there's always a lot of that sort of thing. And then there was the guy who was like, I'm the first one ever to wear shorts at the NBA draft. And Jay Billis was like, hey, there's a reason for that. I mean, it wasn't crazy. Well, it wasn't like a Speedo, or it wasn't
below the knees.
It was like suit pants made into shorts. They weren't like
LeBron,
cargo shorts.
Like LeBron wore the other day.
Yes, similar to that. Right.
All right.
Yeah.
But in this great country of ours, we are obsessed with professional football. You would agree with that. Even during the NBA draft, I saw on the scroll that was happening how Jameis Winston is facing a 3-game suspension for the upcoming NFL season. Chelsea, do you follow along with the NFL as closely as I think a ton of Americans do? Do you know why Jameis Winston is looking at 3 games of sitting on the bench and not getting paid?
Did he take crab legs from a Publix?
That was in college.
Did he stand up on a table in a crowded space and yell derogatory things about a woman?
That was also in college.
The headline on this one is interesting, because I've never seen this headline before. I know what you're talking about, so I'll have to recuse myself.
Is it something in the public sphere that's getting him in trouble on the field?
Yes, you're so close, but I don't think you're going to get it, because it wasn't so public that the police were involved. It involves an incident with an Uber driver back in 2016.
The headline was Jameis Winston suspension for groping Uber driver.
And you go, okay, well, I mean, sexual assault is huge and that's a problem. Absolutely. But then when you boil it down, there were no police called. In fact, he only learned about it when Uber notified Jameis Winston, hey, we're suspending your account.
Right. That was the most interesting part of the story for me, too. It wasn't like he did something horrible. We don't know what he did. It may have been horrible, but it sounds like it wasn't based on the way that it was, that it came to light.
So they're at a drive-through at 2 a.m. Right. So kudos to him. Maybe they were out having a good time on the town.
Kudos to him for using an Uber driver.
Okay. It's like, 2 a.m.
Going to the drive-thru at 2 a.m.
Well,
kudos.
No, but you know, if you're in the drive-thru at 2 a.m., you've been boozing. And allegedly there was multiple people in the car. According to Jameis Winston, he's like, I'm in the back seat. I'm not up front. And the driver claims that Jameis Winston reached over and grabbed her in the crotchal region. He's like, look, I was there with a Philadelphia Eagles player and one other guy. Wasn't me.
But this also 2 years ago. And no police report.
No police report.
So walk me through this.
Found out about it because Uber suspended his, whatever you call it,
so
membership.
How does a driver go to her company and say, hey, 2 years ago, this guy grabbed me?
It's a great question.
Then the NFL comes in. Has he actually been suspended?
No, they started their investigation of November of last year once they found out about it, which was almost a year after it happened.
But they've been investigating since last November?
Correct.
How much is there to investigate?
Well, there's a lot going on. It's a he said, she said. There's no security cam footage. They want to get it right, but they also want to respect this woman who feels like she was sexually violated. It's a tightrope that you have to walk.
And yet Uber nor the woman filed a criminal or a civil complaint. All she did apparently was say something to her company, and they were like, well, we'll suspend his account. That's all I'm saying. It's a strange scenario.
I'm trying to walk down the middle line on this one because I've been on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Not as an Uber driver or an NFL player, but I've been the woman who's been touched inappropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in a position where people can say anything about you. Anything.
Yeah.
Years later, then it just becomes a he said, she said. So I don't understand. And if the NFL does suspend him, what's to stop somebody who wants to mess up a rival team from saying anything?
Well, Tom Brady
years later.
Well, that's why they do a year-long investigation. You were asking why it's so long. I think that's the reason. But you know right now, or any time, frankly, but especially now, because everyone is being especially vigilant, which is good when it comes to sexual harassment. However, anybody can allege anything. And the fallout can be quick. Now, that's obviously not the case here because, like you said, they've been investigating this for a year. But there have been a lot of cases recently where someone has alleged something and then immediately that person loses their job or at least is thrown under the bus publicly without any investigation.
Chris Hardwick.
Right. And he may be guilty. I don't know. But there is a lot of that lately.
Winston could be notified as early as today. The three games or a game or no suspension, but they say more likely going to be happening.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, who cares? I don't care. I mean, I'm not a Tampa fan. It's not about Winston to me.
But somebody
cares. But it's the whole situation is the part that's more interesting because it could, like you said, it could happen to anybody and any walk of life, really. It's not about even just the NFL. It's just about, and it's fascinating that, again, he learned about it because Uber contacted him and said, yeah, we're suspending your account. That's no cops. They didn't contact Tampa. It was, the whole thing is very odd. I mean, you've done a lot of weird things in an Uber. I can't believe you've still got your account.
I'm on my fourth account. It's a frightening world. Be very, very careful out there.
That's fun. Let's turn the tables because we do have a round of fun with golf audio today on the show. And that's stuff that we've taken out of context from golf tournaments, most of them from the U.S. Open last weekend. And we'll hit that here in just a little bit.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I don't know how fired up you are, but you may want to sit down if you haven't heard the news. Chelsea? April the giraffe may be pregnant again.
Years ago.
What do you mean, didn't she just give birth?
It was years ago?
Mm-hmm, I feel like it was. And you said may be pregnant. Is that technology beyond our reach?
Let me share the headline with you from the Washington Post. April the giraffe might be pregnant again, and it's somehow news. End quote.
Right. You can't say it's somehow news if you're the news person generating
it. Yes, you can. That's the way it works now, Chelsea. That's what's so awesome about it. Yes, she is the giraffe that everybody followed on the internet when she was pregnant, however long ago that was. I don't even remember when that was.
But there was a watch for a long time.
Do you realize that that stream of her in her pen, maybe going to deliver a child back in the day, was watched by well over 5 million people at its peak? When was that, by the way? Who's got the date on that?
On April 15th, 2017. April gone into labor.
So that was only a year ago?
And that's when she actually went into labor. I feel like it feels longer because we the people, started watching that video way before she actually had the giraffe, correct?
Yeah, it was like 1985.
Something like that.
It did seem like it was forever, yes.
So now there's news, kind of, that she may be pregnant again. Maybe.
That's right. February 2017 is when it started. The webcam streaming, and then she gave birth on April. Ah, it had to be longer than that. But this is according to Wikipedia is what I'm
reading. But it didn't really, because remember, it was a daily thing. Like, it was on the news, on, you know, it was everywhere. And you couldn't be on social media without everybody posting the live feed. And so 2 months is a long time when you're staring at something all day, every day. That's a lot. I mean, it did feel like decades, but it was probably 2 months is probably about right. First, but it was a huge deal. It wasn't just the internet. Nearby hotels. I think this was in New York, like upstate New York or something.
Yeah.
Nearby hotels were overbooked, and the park where she was selling out, and you know, they had new signs went up on the highway. I mean, it was like a cultural phenomenon.
But why? I still don't even understand why, because correct me if I'm wrong, like, giraffes do have babies every day, right?
I'm sure they do, yes.
This wasn't like a special infertile giraffe or something, right? Like, there's no meaning behind it.
If the name of your metal band is not Infertile Giraffe, change it today.
Like, why do we care? And I know I ask myself that about so many things.
But even at the time, it was like, look, if she does give birth, you can go back and watch the tape. Remember, everybody was stopping what they were doing in their lives to watch it live. It's going to be any minute now, so I can't do anything else. I've got to watch it live. Where as soon as she gave birth, everybody would go, oh, she gave birth. Now I'll go back and watch the tape. If your thing was really to watch a giraffe be born, which, you know, it's a miracle. But whatever. Do you really need to watch it for 2 months straight? No, you do not. Well, it's like a pen. There's nothing to it. It's not roaming wild. You're not getting to see the beautiful foliage of the Serengeti. This is in a cage in upstate New York somewhere. It's very confusing to me.
We're starting our own live web stream of me watching April. So if you would like to watch a fat kid watch a giraffe online, we have a feeling that's going to be the next viral thing.
That sounds wrong, but I like the way you're trying to come up with good ideas.
Thank you.
That just doesn't happen to be one of them, as far as I can tell.
We're still working on it.
If I ever think I might be pregnant, I'm just going to find your mailman and he can follow me around and we can just have a video of that.
Behind the scenes story, before Chelsea had even announced that she was pregnant to her family or to her friends, my mailman saw her and was like, hey, you're pregnant. Actually came up to me and was like, so Chelsea's pregnant? And I was like, what? How do you know? And then what, like a week and a half later, you made the announcement.
I was like 8 weeks pregnant when your mailman identified it somehow. Still so strange.
So maybe we start a GoFundMe to send Bill to New York. Bill, my mailman, he can look at April the giraffe and let us know if she's pregnant.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber.
I think they're going to be able to find out whether she is or isn't
pregnant.
Why?
Well, then do it. Like, what is this? What is this? She may be pregnant. What do you have to do to find out if a giraffe is pregnant? Come on.
She's over there eating ice cream with pickles and stuff like that.
Is she pee on a stick? How does a giraffe pee on a stick?
It's a big stick.
Very gently.
So dumb.
I'm trying to help you out with what's happening in the world, Chelsea. There's things going on.
Everyone in this room is now dumber.
Fingers crossed. We need another April the giraffe. We need another distraction right now.
Don't
we?
Nothing going on.
Nothing going on.
I'll tell you what we do have going on. We've got a round of fun with golf audio. And if that doesn't make headlines in the Washington Post, I don't know what will. We'll hit that for you next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I'm going to be vulnerable and say that I've been doing something that I think is out of character for me. I've been watching World Cup soccer on television.
Really?
Yes. And I don't know why. It seems to be on a couple of channels on the service that I have. So I'm like, oh, maybe it's me. Maybe times have changed and it's not just dudes falling down, grabbing their shin in fake pain.
It's not just that. That does happen periodically, but it's so much more than that. We've gone over this.
And by the way, on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page, I posted a flop in the Portugal game that is, I got to tell you, one of the best. I forget who it is, and I don't know the player's name, so forgive me, but one player is walking away after a goal, and an opposing player just like taps him on the shoulder twice, and he falls down like he was shot by a sniper. Ah! He's on the ground, and he's like almost crying at the guy, like, why would you do
Look,
that?
I think we all agree, and even those of us that are big soccer fans, I'm sure would all agree, that's not a part of the game that any of us like. And they are trying to get rid of it. There are rules against it. You can, happens periodically, that you can get a yellow card for faking as well. So they do try. The problem is what they need to do, and I know this wasn't what you wanted to get into, but I'm just going to say this. I don't understand why we still only have one ref. Think about how big a field is. Do you know how big a football field is? A soccer field is bigger.
Yeah.
And they have one ref. I mean, the reason why they do it is because they think, well, he probably didn't see anything, so I'll just fall down and I'll probably get a call. If they just add a couple of refs, NBA has three refs on that little court. If they would just add a couple of more eyes to that thing, I think that would solve it.
And
I don't know why they don't.
My personal thing was, you've got the video cameras and you've got the ability for video replay. You don't even need to add a ref. If he's laying on the ground writhing in pain, you go to the video, and if it's not an egregious foul, granted, it's going to be, you know, a judgment call by the ref. If he flopped, he's immediately off the field. You have to play a player down.
That's fine, but that's a lot of video.
And that's a lot of stoppage of the game.
You don't want that.
Soccer is all about stoppage. They don't even tell you to the end of the game, hey, we're going to play for another 10 minutes.
Well, but it's not all about stoppage. They don't stop much at all. Right. But you're right. I don't like the way they do the clock either. I'm with you on that. The game is still, it transcends that. That's all I'm telling you.
The one thing I will tell you that I love about soccer is the Spanish announcers. My God, are they the best. If you didn't happen to catch the game between Argentina and Croatia, Argentina with Lionel Messi, heavy favored, they lose 3-0.
That was a big upset.
Including the goaltender who whiffed on a kick. It went like 10 yards to the Croatian guy. He blasted in the back of the net. The call on Telemundo was one of the best calls in the history of sports broadcasting. Listen to this. Not edited. It's not edited, Chelsea. I did not touch this audio.
De Croatia.
That, my friends, is a great soccer call.
It's just showboating.
You're damn right it's showboating. It's fantastic. The dude just held goal for like 22 seconds.
Showing us his lung strength.
The boy's got pipes for days. And I apologize for anybody who set their alarm to the Woody and Wilcox show who just woke up to this.
We should apologize every day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this is particularly gruesome to listen to.
Disagree.
Just keeps going. He's the Energizer Bunny of announcers.
Good Energizer Bunny reference, too. Thanks for making fun of me for being old. Thanks to Frank, who says, guys, there are four refs on the field in a soccer game. Nope. There's one ref, there's a few linesmen, and then there's another guy who just brings in subs. And those guys are calling offsides, and that's about it.
Yep.
There's one guy that just brings in subs?
Yep. He holds up a giant clock-looking thing.
Sort of, and he's there in case somebody else, you know, goes down or I don't know. But there's one main ref who makes all those calls. It just, you need to either let those other guys make other calls or have other refs. It just doesn't, none of it makes sense at all. We're going to move beyond it.
Okay.
Movie's coming out this weekend. The new Jurassic Park is out. Chelsea, Chris Pratt. Cool Beans saw it. We'll get her take on it. And she's never seen a Jurassic Park movie prior to this. So we'll dig in next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Cool Beans! Can you please come into the studio? It's Friday, and of course, movies come out today. Cool Beans literally must see 2 to 3 movies a week.
It's probably more than that, and she just doesn't want to tell us.
Hey, Cool Beans.
Good morning.
How many movies do you think you're seeing a week these days?
This week it was only one, but it's usually like 2 to 3.
That's incredible.
Wow, because you're busy.
Well, they're free, so.
Yeah, but still, you have 3 jobs.
And it is a lot. I mean, I can't find the time to dedicate an hour and a half to a movie that's also free, like on TV. As everyone has pointed out, Shawshank Redemption is on 83 times a week, and I still have yet to watch it. I'm just saying it's impressive.
Yes. Well,
you are impressive, Cool Beans, in so many ways.
I know, right?
Somebody actually online, who was it yesterday, is Cool Beans a real person?
Yeah. Or is she just a robot or some sort of made-up thing?
Like, you called a radio station, you talked to Cool Beans.
Well, but you may not have ever called a station. I can understand. Because, let's face it, intern Dave that you hear at the end of the show...
Is a real person.
Is a real person, but is not really here. It's a long story. Intern Dave used to be our intern, and he did used to come into the studio off the air and say, another great show, guys. And then we were like, would you please record that? He's no longer an intern. We haven't seen him in about 2 years, but we kept the tape, obviously.
Is that true, Dave? Oh, no, it's not going to work.
It's not the end of the show.
Yeah, it only works at the very end of the show. What do you
Damn
know?
It!
So anyway, so Cool Beans saw Jurassic Park Fallen Kingdom.
I did.
Which, by the way, is the latest in a laundry list of Jurassic Park movies. Does anybody know how many there have been?
A lot.
Wow, 5 maybe?
Yep, this 4? Is the 5th.
Okay.
This is the 5th.
You know when the original came out?
1993. I'm cheating.
Yep. Good. So, good job cheating.
25 I mean, years
a long
ago.
Time ago.
25 that years.
A long
ago.
I know.
And Cool Beans has seen none of them.
I have
which
not.
I don't know how you managed to avoid them all.
I know, right?
I realize that's coming from me who hasn't seen a lot of the classics, but still.
And how? Let's all face it. How much fun would it be to watch a thriller? This is not a horror movie, but it's a thriller, right? With dinosaurs popping out of nowhere with Cool Beans.
She's very jumpy. Like,
yes.
Literally. So Cool Beans does her job. She's the one, if you call the station, you usually chat with Cool Beans. She's in a different room, but we can see each other through glass. But if any of us leave the studio and then go into her room, she leaps. I mean, it's just like
a cat on the ceiling.
She thought, it seems, that she was the only person in the building, maybe for miles. And then all of a sudden, boom.
You guys got a knock. You don't know that?
Oh.
So having not seen any of them and then going to see this one, I don't think anybody's probably under the assumption like, I'll never get it. How will I figure out what's happening? There's dinosaurs on an island and it's current times. But I mean, what did you think as far as that? I mean, I'm sure there are little Easter eggs and little references back to the original, but my guess is it's relatively unimportant.
Yeah, absolutely. I did see a little clip of the first one a long time ago where there was a kid in a kitchen or something, and she thought she was safe, but then the dinosaur opened the door and it scared me, so I turned it off.
Well, so this one must have been hard to watch too then. I'm sure there were scary moments.
I just thought that was freaky for a dinosaur to open a door. But no, this one, I thought it was really good, and there was some stuff like that, but you will totally figure it out if you haven't seen any of the other ones. But like you said, there are some things that pop up that referred back to the previous movies, and I didn't know what they were. Like, a person appeared on stage, and the whole theater's like, ooh, you know, I don't know who that is.
Right.
And
then, gotcha. Speaking of popping up, is there a Chris Pratt nudity in it? I'm asking for Chelsea.
Why are you asking for me?
No nudity. Okay. But, I mean, he's pretty cute.
So the dinosaurs have clothes on, too?
All right. Can we somehow turn Woody's mic off?
There was I heard you guys talking before, and there was a dinosaur named Blue, which apparently she was in one of the previous ones.
Okay.
So
why the critics said, get ready for number 6, Jurassic World Electric Bloogaloo.
Yes, yes. So,
that's horrible. That's an A for effort. I love the Electric Boogaloo reference, which is even older than 25 years. That's about to be the 35-year reference.
So it was good, and there was a lot of excitement. But like I said, I haven't seen any of the other ones. So I'm coming at it from a different viewpoint. Now, I did hear other people in the theaters that said that they had seen the previous one say that it was basically the same thing.
Well, I mean, how different can it get when it's dinosaurs attacking people?
Right.
I mean, it's basically the same storyline, right? What are they going to start flying planes or get on a boat? Like, where can it go?
Exactly. So, I mean, I guess you might be
fatigued. This time they're doing it before the dormant volcano on the island erupts.
And that's only half the movie. It was a little sad part because there was one dinosaur. I'm just going to say it. He got left behind on the island.
So you have feelings for the dinosaurs. I mean, leave you with sort of a soft spot for dinosaurs.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty cool.
Spoiler alert.
Unless they're trying to kill the other people. I mean,
Jeff Goldblum's back. What more do you need?
Why? Because I need a paycheck.
Right, exactly.
Paycheck is what I'm looking for.
Woody's now doing Jeff Goldblum impressions.
I was not prepared for that.
Let's save it for Frank Caliendo.
Chelsea?
Hello, yes. Jeff Goldblum here. Why would you listen to anyone besides Woody and Wilcox? And the reason would be because you have a brain.
That's not Woody, by the way. That's Frank Caliendo.
I say, that's pretty good.
I did jump in this movie. I did.
I'm sure you did.
As to be expected.
Yes. So there's something to look forward to.
It gets a 65% like score on Rotten Tomatoes, which seems fairly high given that it's the fifth go-round of a movie about dinosaurs on an island.
Yeah.
And everybody seemed to say that it was better than the last one. Whichever that means.
I haven't seen it, so it's better than the last one.
I mean, I give it a 3 just because, I mean, I have no reference point, but I thought it was pretty cool.
All right, then.
A 3.
Out of 5.
Okay. That's 100%, right? My math may be slightly off on that.
What?
I agree with him. It sounds like 100% to me.
All right, Cool Beans. Better go see another movie. There she goes, Cool Beans. We have got some fun with golf audio that we'll do before much longer here on the Woody and Wilcox Show.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
You know, yesterday we got into that topic of injuries that you suffered in bed. Mostly meaning sleeping, by the way, not anything else. And there was a decent amount of contribution after the show yesterday. You can always ring in on our voicemail, by the way, if you can't get in during the show on a topic. You know, just call the Fez line, 704-FEZ-3200.
Hey, Woody and Wilcox. On the topic of bed injuries, the other week I was asleep and I had a nosebleed and I slept through it. And when I woke up, my sheets were stuck to my body. And I had blood literally on my entire pillow, and my face and body were all bloody.
Good morning, everybody. That's tough. Then there was this one that came in on the voicemail, the Fez line yesterday, too.
Hey, guys. Listen to the podcast right now. Just weighing in on the accidental injuries while sleeping. So my little brother, when he was young, probably 7 or 8, he went to summer camp with Y Guy, so my dad was, you know, part of that. And in the bunkhouse, my dad was on the bottom, my brother was on the top, and the floor is concrete. And somehow, my brother slid off the bed onto the concrete floor from the top bunk, managed to not injure himself. But now, here's the kicker: when he fell, he said, "Hit it, yo la yo yo lo lo."
Right? Who's with me, Chelsea?
Get it!
So you're always welcome to join us on our voicemail. Any number of ways to get a hold of us, but that's called the Fez line at 704-FEZ-3200. Right, thank you. The yodeling is so fantastic, isn't it? We also have a round of fun with golf audio that we're going to hit for you next. No yodeling on that one, by the way.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
You know what? And I never thought about the fact that when we leave the Bill Cosby fatherhood book, that's a Freudian slip right there, out on the table, it becomes such a great conversation piece when we get comedians in the studio. From SNL, Chris Redd is here, and also Matt Rife is here as well, and they're traveling around the country doing comedy. Welcome, fellas.
What's going on, man? How y'all feeling?
We're feeling good. You guys are really getting a kick out of the Bill Cosby book.
Yo, it's hilarious. First of all, the chapters in this book,
Remembrance of Things Upstairs,
that's a chapter in here. There's a chapter called Batter Up. No,
the tender trap.
We all know what it is now.
There's not even another meaning for that.
Do you need to read the book?
What's so funny about it is, like, really, we had a buddy who brought that book in, like, it was at his house, and he's like, hey, I thought maybe you guys would want to see this, and we've just left it on the table, and now you read it. Yeah. You know, all these years later, after what we know now about Bill Cosby and the chapter names.
Well, and it's right next to this book entitled What Every Teenager Wants to Know, Love and the Facts of Life, written by R. Kelly. No, it's written by Evelyn Melissa. But you all was like, yep, sounds right.
That's right. But how old is that book? That's got to be from 1950?
Yeah, it's way too old.
Teenagers
for R. Kelly.
Don't care about love and the facts of life?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. You should open that one up because it's got illustrations. Oh, Cosby's illustration book doesn't have illustrations, right?
Oh, yeah, there's like a little baby in there. Look at that little white baby.
You don't know that that's... Yeah, you do.
Absolutely. You can tell by how white the baby is. In the fact, it's made in 1950, okay? Sure. Come on, man. We just started becoming people, right?
We were just talking about...
In the public eye? This is what I joke about, guys.
No, we know you joke about more than that, because Woody was just talking about the what was the thing that you were talking about, Woody?
So it's a show that started a couple of years ago. Ari Shaffir had a show that was called This Is Not Happening, and it stemmed from comics sitting around after shows and just telling stories from their life, from the road and things like that. And he's like, this is going to make a fantastic show. Now, Roy Wood Jr. has taken over, one of my favorite guys.
Love Roy.
And love Chris, Roy. You were on it and told what I'm going to call one of the best stories about... It was the first two fights because... It's so relatable when it comes to, like, in your head, you're like, I'm going to be a badass.
Yeah,
and
I was
then
definitely that kid.
I think we, as men, we all grow up through a certain period of our time going, we're all going to be badasses.
Yeah.
And then when the chips are down, things sometimes don't work out the way you want them to.
Yeah, I mean, I was a small kid, so I was always talking crazy because I had, you know, I was overcompensating. And and all my cousins was bigger, and they were like actual gangsters and real tough, and I wanted to be down. So I would have like, man, I'm going to win my first fight. I'm win every fight I ever get into, man. I got this all day. And then I ran into a dude on the south side of Chicago in the daytime, and he bumped into me, and I wasn't ready. And that story is all about that. I got hit in my throat, man. I'll just give y'all a little short of it. I got hit in my throat, and my chin was down, so I was confused how he got there. Because, like, a direct shot to your throat is pretty easy. When your chin down, I mean, you gotta, like, you're getting hit with a question mark fist, and that's insane. Like, he had some direction with that thing, and he hit me so fast, my whole throat shut down, and I farted. And that's not even connected. It's not even connecting. I asked the doctor and everything. I was like, yo, I got hit here. I farted here. How's my butt got a secret I don't know about? Yo, that's crazy. It's a crazy story. Y'all should go check it out. I don't want to do the whole
thing. No, but it is that, but. It is absolutely fantastic because he goes into the psychology of, like, you know, it happens so quickly, your mind doesn't have a chance to react, and the things you were saying back to the man. It was relatable.
He's like, I'm about to F you up. And I was like, no. That's what I said first. Because I didn't agree. I don't think anybody would agree with somebody when they're like, I'm about to F you up. Yes, you will. Like, no. Nah. I said no. And then I was like, oh, I got, it's my line. it's like, but that's how I've always seen life. And because I've always been like I grew up like a really shy, introverted kid. And I had to teach myself how to be extroverted. So, like, I'm always looking at the world like I'm just every little move socially. I'm always breaking down in my head 1,001 times how to deal with it. It just happens quicker now because I'm a grown man.
But the thing I loved about it, there was so much genuine pain in your eyes as you were telling this story.
Oh, it still hurts to this day.
Does it really?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of the people that I used to fight back in the day, and a lot of them have asked me for money. so I think I won. You know what I mean? some we got just mad respect for each other at the end of the day. But it was like, I was young. I was like 12 years old. And so I was supposed to lose those fights. That's how I lost. You know what I mean? But that's how I learned. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about fighting. I learned a lot about just like controlling your ego too. You know what I'm saying? That's why I love that story for that though. To tell people like, yo, it's all right to take an L. That's how I take an L, and it's painful too.
It's painful, but you learn and you learn. And by the way, I learned that you should not watch Bruce Lee movies to learn how to fight.
Man, Bruce Lee was bad though. That was a bad boy.
Why shouldn't you watch Bruce Lee movies to learn how to fight?
Well, you should also
you can't do those movies.
You should go to a class of some kind. I was just watching Bruce Lee movies, and I was like, yo, I was practicing on the moves. And I was using Bruce Lee because Bruce Lee could beat up 15 dudes at the same time. You know what I'm saying? People just waiting in line.
Waiting in line to get their ass whooped.
Yeah, man. I didn't know I could say that. I used to love watching Bruce Lee, and then I tried to use his moves, and it ain't work.
It's like watching a pot.
You really need to see it.
The
way Chris tells it, and I don't want to give away the ending, but it's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, well, I appreciate that, man. 100%. I'm really proud of that joint.
Because his second fight.
The second fight.
He talks about the second fight, and spoiler alert, it's awesome.
For everyone but me.
You know, the only thing that's funny is that you said you're in
Chicago. No, okay. I didn't lose every fight in Chicago. These are just two stories of the times I lost. I had a lot of fights, man.
Practice rounds.
Yeah.
You said you were an introvert and you had to learn to be something else, and then you end up going into comedy. Do you think, is that unusual, or you think that's kind of, is that typical for comics?
No, I mean, I've been dream chasing my whole life. I was doing music for like 14 years, and then I stopped, and I was like, yo, what else should I do? And I was like, well, I'm kind of funny. I think maybe I should just take an improv class and I'll try some stand-up. And then, like, it took me a while to get out there. But once I did, it was like, oh, man, I fell in love with that. And that was, like, 9 years ago. So, like, I haven't known anything but, like, having a dream and just trying to, like, figure it out. Comedy just was comedy came easier, I think, because I had already chased a dream before, so I kind of knew how to do it. I kind of like knew how to be concise with my time and just better with my time in general. And also, like, people liked it that I was doing comedy, like, and they were more supportive of it. When I was rapping, I was running the streets and I was doing some dumb things. So, like, trying to, you know, I feel like if I'm rapping about it, I gotta do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And with comedy, it was all about, like, just vulnerability and just learning myself and really, really listening to people too. Like, that's what, big on improv. I love improv. I think everybody should take it, especially, improv, because it really teaches you how to, like, listen, like, actually listen and like, respond instead of waiting to talk.
What's harder, comedy or music?
Oh, man.
I mean, I think I know the answer, but I'll let you answer.
Man, I mean, they're both so difficult, right? Like, to be great in it, you know what I mean? I think, I don't know. Comedy's definitely harder now, for sure. Comedy's harder because you have to make content all the time, whereas music, you can make a good song and a song could live forever. Like, right. It could, like, legit, you could do it anywhere, anytime. And, like, there are people who do tell jokes and be telling jokes for 10 years, but it's like, you don't respect them the same as you respect a Chappelle and everybody else. And that's hard to be a Chappelle and a Rock and, like, a, you know what I mean? Like, a heart and all that. So, I think comedy's definitely harder, for sure. But then, like, to create a hit is not easy either.
No, it's not easy, but you're right. You can live on that for a long time, and you can't. I mean, there are comics who live on one joke or one set for a long time, but they don't live well.
That's like so rare.
Yeah, it's
like
it's
a Marty Mac Def Jam moment.
Yeah.
Is Matt's mic not working?
No, that's just his mic.
Oh, it's just that bad?
Yeah.
You gotta eat it.
It somehow has gotten worse.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we couldn't hear you.
We're sharing a mic like an R&B group?
Yeah. All right, on that note, let's hold that thought. Chris Redd and Matt Reif are here, and we're going to chat some more. I also want to talk to Chris specifically about how you get on Saturday Night Live and what that whole process is like. And we'll do that coming up next.
Woody and Wilcox. The Woody and Wilcox Show.
All right. Behind the scenes, if you're not on Facebook, by the way, the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page, we are live on the Facebook page. You just got to hear an analyzation of the NBA draft from last night. Not a good one, but you heard one. Comedian Chris Redd and Matt Reif are in the studio with us. They're doing shows. If you're in the Charlotte area, they're at the Comedy Zone tonight through Sunday night.
Yeah.
And Chris is a Saturday Night Live guy now. Has it been a year? Is that what it is?
It's been a season.
Season.
Yeah, man. It's been crazy.
How does that happen? And is that something that you ever thought would be a thing in your life at any point?
Not for real. I knew I wanted to do a sketch show for sure. I thought it would be like, I would write one and then get in and do it, maybe like a pilot, and then see where it goes from there, which I tried a couple times with Universal, but I never thought I'd be on SNL. And then when I got on there, I was like very surprised. I remember getting a phone call. I was in Detroit, and I was a little hungover, and they called me. And the lady was like, Lauren Michaels on the phone for you. And I said, who? And I jumped out of bed and he was like, oh, hi, Chris. This is Lauren Michaels. And I put pants on immediately because, like, and he couldn't see me, but I felt like I had like no pants on energy, dog. And I needed to get my energy up. I was like, yeah. Who is it? Where are my pants? Where are my pants? Why do I have nothing? Everything on my pants. I had shoes on. It was weird, bro.
I've woken up like that.
Yeah. Long nights, man. But it was great. It was such a fun year. And now I've slept a little bit. I'm able to like kind of look back at the year and be like, oh man, I did all right. I did pretty good. I had a good time. I got to create some cool things. And I'm glad for the time off to be doing stand up just like 100%, 110%. But like I'll be excited to go back.
What surprised you, or what was interesting about that experience at Saturday Night Live that maybe you didn't anticipate or whatever?
The surprise was how talented people are on that show. Mm-hmm. Like, those are by far some of the funniest people I've ever worked with in my life. It's like just it's like a Justice League of each kind of comedy in that format. Like, and just to watch, like, Keenan is just undoubtedly funny all the time. It's insane how good this dude is, and he's just like a nice dude. Like, Kate McKinnon is just so great, and she's like sitting like, I remember my first table read, because I was like, oh yeah, I kill table reads. Like, I'm ready. And then I sat down, and like, Mikey Day's right here, Kate McKinnon's right here, Keenan's right there, Cecily right there, 80's right in front of me. I'm starting to look around like, oh, I'm here. And like, and they start reading, and they're going hard. Like, I've never seen a table read like this before in my life. And it got to my little one line. I was like, yeah. I don't even know what it was, but it sucked. And I was like, oh, get in the game. What are you doing? You know, it was crazy because it's just a different level of of great, and you have to like either you have to rise to the occasion or you know you get ran over a little bit just by circumstance. So man, it's just I that was a part of it that I didn't see coming. Also, it's like kind of like an office building. So it's like being back in the office, but it's like a dream job too. So you're like, it's an office, but do what you want in your office. And I've worked a lot of office jobs, and they all sucked except this one. Every single one of them.
I mean, we've had other SNL people on, and there's always a talk about how maybe not as much now, or maybe it is like competitiveness. Mm. Like, is there a big competitiveness to it as far as getting your bits on and all that?
Oh yeah, I mean. Every week you're auditioning to be on a show you already got. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's constant. Like, you're writing these ideas, and then you're hoping they get to the table, which a lot of them don't get to the table read. It's a four-hour table read. It's a lot of people pitching things. So it's just basically, like, you're just kind of, like, working all night in hopes that you're going to get your idea even seen, and then has to go over well. And then after that, it has to fit, like, what they want in the show that week. So it's mad competitive. So, but all you can do is try to find your lane, and try to like just do something that everybody's not doing. You know what I mean? And like for me, music comedy, black music comedy is like a thing that they weren't doing as much. And so I was like, oh okay, let me just try to figure out how to like do that, because I love pre-tape stuff, Lonely Island stuff, and then like just try to write stuff in my perspective that like no one else is going to come with. And that's basically what everybody's doing. Everybody's trying to like write the most unique thing to them that's going to be the funniest and kind of showcase a different perspective. So
isn't there one day a week that they do like the all-nighter, like somebody, it's like a Tuesday
night? Tuesday's writing night. It should be one night, but it's multiple nights. You're up like all the time, but like yeah, Tuesday you kind of come in and you're just there too. I usually walk out of there about 6 a.m., 7 a.m. each time. Sheesh. And I'm not even a writer. I just like to, I love to write, and I love to just create and just be there. And like, by the time, songs take a long time to make too. So, and that's why I like to write a lot of those songs. And
When you auditioned, what did you do, and how did you decide what you were going to do for that?
When I auditioned, I'm super real about this story too. When I auditioned, I was bitter, man, because I didn't get it that following year, and people thought I did. So people were asking me all year about SNL, and I was on another show just joining at the time. So they had finally stopped asking me about SNL. And then they called me. They're like, hey, you want to go write the callbacks? And I was like, no, I don't ever want to see SNL again. And then my agent's like, okay. And they called me back 15 minutes later, like, are you sure? I was like, nah, go ahead. I'll go. And like, but I was like, but I'm not doing no impressions. I'm doing what I want to do. And they're like, all right, man. And so I go there, and I was already on the road, and I was working on this. I was working on this half hour comedy where I was talking about like some characters from my life, like a lot of crackheads and stuff like that I knew growing up. Like my uncle was a crackhead. I didn't know at first. I just thought he was a fun dude. that's the premise to what my jokes were. Right. So I was like, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm gonna do. And like, there's seven different characters in it, but it's like all street stuff. It's like, it's not no impressions of political figures or nothing like that. And they're like, nah, do your thing. And I was glad I did it, because it showed my writing. It showed like my character work, and it just showed the funniest version of me. You know what I'm saying? And I also didn't care a little bit, because I was like, whatever. I know what it's like not to get the show now, so I'm just gonna go in and just try to show them the funniest version of me, and it's what it is. And I felt great about it. And then I finally got hired, and I was like, oh, dope. And that's when I really realized how much I really wanted the show. When I got on there and I started walking, and then Kate came in when we had our first day sitting in the offices. She came in and said, hey, I was like, whoa, yo, we're here, dog. This is crazy. Yeah. And a lot of my friends, I got hired at the same time. Sam J, Gary Richardson, Steve Castillo, a bunch of folks got hired at the same time. So like, I kind of came in there with a family, which was pretty, pretty dope.
Yeah, we're talking to Chris. We're talking to Chris Redd, and he and Matt Reif are at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte. If you're in the Charlotte area, check them out through the weekend at cltcomedyzone.com. You mentioned impressions. Is there pressure for an SNL audition to do impressions? You're supposed to come in and do impressions?
100%.
That's what it is, huh?
Well, it's like they just want to see the funniest thing. If you have impressions and you're good at impressions, definitely do it. But like, if impressions aren't your strong suit, do what's the funniest thing. You know what I mean? It's kind of like what I was.
Chelsea, why were you looking at me when you said he said impressions are not strong? I'm the one that does.
He does awful impressions.
You do impressions?
Oh, not well.
No, you gotta do impressions right now.
No, Chelsea.
Do your best
Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan.
That is terrible.
I love Tracy Morgan. Tracy Morgan. See what the thing you do is you get you pregnant.
All right, Woody, now's your chance. Nope. Go ahead. I was trying to explain. You know when there's a fresh young comic who's just coming up and he's like, yeah, I'm really funny. And you immediately know this guy's not funny. Whenever somebody does impressions and I'm like, I'm really good at impressions, you should immediately say, this guy's horrible at impressions.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody that says like, yo, because I get hit up so much. I have this thing called Stop Pitching Me-ish. I do it on my Instagram, and it basically all started because like people, like as soon as I got the job, people started pitching me ideas online, and so I was like, yo, and I would roast them because it was so bad, and then they would keep pitching me, and I would keep reposting them, roasting them, and then it just became a fun game.
Yeah,
but people's ideas are terrible a lot, and people don't realize. People don't realize how bad their ideas are. You know what I mean? It's like we're in the business of ideas. That's all we do. It's like the top of our class is just constantly just sharing ideas and trying to create. So like, but these people just be working these jobs and just be like, hey man, I was in Walmart and somebody fell down. That's a hilarious sketch. Like, no, that's an accident. It's not a sketch, my dude.
People say stuff like that to me all the time too. You should talk about this on the radio.
Yeah.
Like, what? There's not a story there. No. Like, what?
It's like you're taking away everything that makes this job unique, and like, you know, you have to have a skill. It's not just something you can just get up and do.
My mom is the worst at that. If I'm hanging out with my mom and anything happens, drop a can of tuna. Oh, you're going to talk about that on the show. I'm like, maybe it hit your foot and you had to go to the hospital and they amputated your leg and you fell out of the ambulance on the way there, maybe we have something.
Right. But like, no, my mom's the worst at that, and it's bad because she was actually on the show, for Mother's Day episode. Mm-hmm. They let a few of our mothers on the show, and man, my mom's already pitching me jokes, and then I was like, yo, you're gonna be on Saturday Night Live. And she's like, ooh, I didn't even have to audition. I'm like, you know what? I ain't got time for you. She can't tell her nothing now. Yo.
At least she's proud of you. Like,
oh yeah.
Oh no.
Our parents still say we have other jobs.
That's right.
Oh, I had that a long time, man. You know, I was rapping before this. She did not like any of that.
Yeah,
when I first started comedy, she didn't like it. She won't tell you that now.
Really?
But yeah, because she didn't like it. She's like, another dream? Go to school. You know?
My parents are Michael.
I'm tired of these dreams.
Yes. I want.
Get a real job, but at least you're not in jail. That's what my parents used to say to me. Man.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we got to wrap this thing up. Chris Redd, Matt Rife, traveling around doing comedy. They're at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte this weekend. CLTComedyZone.com. Check them out.
Yeah, if you can find me on Instagram, and for the next like couple hours, I'll get you free tickets.
No, nice.
What? Oh, wow.
I think at Chris Redd is.
In the morning, yeah. At Chris Redd is. Exactly.
Look at
is not is I-Z.
Right. So weird, the world that we live in. You have to say stuff.
You gotta say it.
I know.
And that's Red 2Ds. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
They'll be like, I can't find you. Because that's not me. Player.
It's Google.
Yeah.
All right. Well, fellas, thank you so much for coming by, man. We appreciate it.
Y'all have fun.
That's good stuff. Chris Redd and Matt Rife. You got to check them out.
Yo.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
All right. It's been proven that I'm confused, so I don't know exactly what we're doing right now, but I do know that we just had Chris Redd from Saturday Night Live on with us, and newer member. He's been there for a season. If you're not familiar, you can see we did Facebook Live the whole thing on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page, so that's up there right now.
Yeah, and you can always go back and watch those videos. The thing that I love about watching those is, you know, we talk here on the air, and then we'll take a quick break, and the conversation usually wanders. Those are the best moments. If you're just listening over the air or on the iHeartRadio app, that's fantastic. On the Facebook page, it's a broader topic, and it's usually pretty weird.
Uncensored.
Yes.
That too. And we discovered that Chelsea almost watched a show that Chris Redd was in as a regular character last night and didn't even realize he was in it.
Correct.
That show Disjointed that was on, it was a Netflix original about weed, and Kathy Bates is the star of it. He had a pretty decent role in that show. So if you've seen that show, you may remember Dank. That was Chris Redd in that show, too.
All right, so I guess we're behind. You've got that information. We take a break here. We figure out what we learned today on the show next, and we'll do that. All right, good. Got it.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Okay, I feel like it's probably time to wrap this thing up. To figure out what we learned today on this show, and it's constant learning for me. I just don't remember it. We had probably the longest discussion we've ever had about anything, and it had to do with the word lewd. What does lewd mean? Does it have to mean sexual? And the answer was yes. That all stemmed, by the way, from an It Happened in Florida story earlier, where a dude was accused of doing something lewd with another guy's toothbrush. But for the longest time, we couldn't figure out what that was, and so we theorized. Thanks, by the way, to somebody. I wish I could give credit. Maybe it was Kelly who sent in the actual answer to the question. It was taint-related. I'm going to leave it at that.
Oh,
no.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry you had to be here for that. We found out that Jameis Winston, the quarterback for Tampa, may be getting suspended because of something that happened with an Uber driver. He wasn't arrested. The cops weren't called. There was nothing along those lines. But he found out because Uber contacted him and said they were dropping his account. And now the NFL is looking into it. So that's a thing, I guess. We also found out that April the giraffe, remember that? The giraffe that we all watched 5 million at a time to watch a giraffe maybe give birth, may be pregnant again. Huh?
Now, oh my God, who the hell cares?
You might say that, but you'd be wrong if you've forgotten how many people were watching the live stream. But they're not sure if she's pregnant, so we're going to send Woody's mailman, Bill, over to find out if, in fact, April the giraffe is pregnant. Also, we did a round of fun with golf audio today. There's a lot of good stuff, a lot of new clips from the U.S. Open, including this one.
See how narrow that is there?
Well, look at that thing. That rough, I don't care how rough your tongue is. You're not getting that off, kitty kitty.
I really like it when he gets it going. His thumbs are going to be sore.
Now, we were confused because those all seemed to not make a lot of sense together, sort of non sequitur-ish, and couldn't figure it out. Then we got this call on the Fez line.
Regarding that golf audio clip where it seems to make absolutely no sense about here, kitty, kitty, has it ever dawned to you or dawned on you that there might be a pair of idiots out there somewhere who have a deal worked out with an announcer to say something random and meaningless on the radio during a call, during a game? Let's think about it, guys.
I don't think that ever happens.
You wonder if there's a carrot at the end of the rainbow here for this Texas Tech team trailing 42-3.
I mean, I don't think any self-respecting announcer would ever say a phrase that some yahoos on the radio try to get him to say. That doesn't make any sense.
Email the bagpiper. It's a ball game here in Las Vegas.
I'm not sure what the reference is, honestly.
Stats weekend. Get your party on. Spill the bucket over.
It was fun, though. Fun with golf audio. It was good stuff. We learned this.
I like people to talk to their balls. I
hear a lot of players talk to their balls. Rarely hear them thank their balls.
I think that's most men.
Yeah, I've rarely heard anyone thank their balls. You can hear that in its entirety on our podcast. Look for the Woody and Wilcox channel of iHeartRadio. If you're not following along on Twitter or Instagram, both of them at Woody and Wilcox. We learned that we like Chris Redd from Saturday Night Live.
Heck yeah.
You can check him out. Follow him to see if he's going to be near you. He's in Charlotte this weekend. Have a great weekend. Probably ought to check in with intern Dave, who is, by the way, to answer your question, a real person. Just not very original. Dave?
Another great show, guys.
Thank you.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
Everyone in this room is now dumber.
Not for a second have I even dwelled on the fact that the show's over. I don't...
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I don't think about it. I try not to think about it, and therefore I, you know, don't.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Because it's a very healthy way to deal with something that is very ultimately not that important in the long run. It's not important at all.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.